You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has opened its doors for another day. We're about 35 minutes into the session, so it's time for the opening with Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. It's a Tuesday. It's August the 4th. And it's the Northern Hemisphere summer, people are a little bit fed up, and I think the market's taking a little bit of a breather this morning because there seems to be very little activity, apart from, of course, the NASDAQ, which, I mean, it's gone to 11,000. Where did it go, Nick? Do you remember in 1999, 2000? I think it went to something like 5,200 or something like that. So it's more than doubled in that time. But, I mean, that's not the full story because it's doubled in a very, very short space of time, in fact.
You're entirely right. And also we're near that sort of another 1,000-point milestone. I mean, 10,905. So we're now 95 points away from 11. I mean, it is quite extraordinary. Another new record high. And, of course, no record high, anything to do with equities, would not be complete without a congratulatory tweet from Mr. Trump, of course, straight afterwards. But more interesting for me, though, Lindsay, if you actually, as much as we've been concentrating so much on the NASDAQ and the FANGs and a couple of, you know, sort of five shares dragging us higher, I saw the Russell 2000 yesterday in America, which is 2,000 shares which make up that index, which is a bit of a, I guess, a broader base to sort of middle America. And that index was up almost 2% yesterday too. So we're starting to see a little bit of movement out of the momentum sort of top fives and actually a little bit of buying on the broader base. So I don't know, maybe, I mean, I'll take it as quite a positive sign for now anyway. That there seems to be a little bit more people hunting for value, maybe getting out of that bigger space.
Yeah, things are definitely going on, Nick. But as I said to you last night and also said to David Shapiro, that I think the next few months are going to be absolutely tumultuous, whether it be to the upside, to the downside, or just politically or economically, I don't know. Whether the markets follow, who knows? But I think one has to be, it's almost like a double option play, isn't it? You've got to be long the calls and you've got to be long the puts, and they've got to be way out of the money. That's my trade for the rest of the year. And in fact,
we used to call that a condor, the wider it is. So you get your straddles, which are quite narrow together, then you get a condor, and then you get other stuff. And you get really condor. We talk about it now. They get things called butterflies as well. So you basically can participate in protecting the up and the downside, but we can discuss that tonight. I don't know if you saw, just briefly, Lindsay, there's some numbers that came out yesterday, which explains maybe a little bit of the – we had a lot of green in Europe yesterday. I mean, it was really a strong session. A lot of news. And this morning, again, in the Far East, as I'm sure you'll point out, a good one as well. Lots of PMI numbers out yesterday, which were surprisingly better. So it seems to be that things are slowly starting to open up, for now, anyway, in that manufacturing space. And that was my explanation to a few clients this morning on our call of why we saw this bounce. Manufacturing from Spain to Italy, from China in the morning, and even South Africa was a little bit better than expected yesterday. So against that backdrop, we've got a little bit of a greener screen this morning.
Very good indeed, yes. Whether it's just a brief hiatus from the downturn, I don't know. But anyway, we'll see, Nick. What's happening? What's the mood this morning before we get into the numbers?
So it seems to be a bit more of a positive sort of tone to it. I mean, we mentioned it yesterday. I mean, everyone asking about the Rand because it was a real outlier for the last sort of 2-3 trading sessions. Since about Thursday, it wasn't following its emerging market peers, wasn't leading its emerging market peers. It was literally Rand sellers.
Yes.
That seemed to have stopped a little bit this morning. We have a bit of Rand strength coming through, which you can point out later when we chat. The mood this morning, I think, a little bit more optimistic. It feels a bit more positive. One glance at the Far East this morning, every single sector I follow was in the green. We had some numbers that we had Bank of Australia this morning keeping rates on hold. We had this afternoon, we have a couple of earnings out from across the pond. But other than that, the diary is fairly quiet today. But definitely, just to summarize, there's definitely a little bit more of a positive kickoff to August this morning.
Very good. Looking at the Stock Exchange News Service, at 7:05 this morning, Royal Bafokeng Platinum Limited came out with its results. The share price has responded quite nicely, up 3.3% on my delayed screen. Again, I always ask you the same question. You go for the bigger guys rather than the smaller guys, don't you, when it comes to PGM producers?
Yes, you do. I mean, just more from I guess, a prudent investing, that you want someone that's got a sort of a bigger balance sheet, because as we all know, these PGMs are very cyclical. So you want guys to have deep pockets in the downturns, and they want to be leveraged on the upside when things are good. So, I mean, they're a good set of numbers, but I would tend to lean more towards Amplats or Impala Platinum, one of the likes.
And when you come to your grocery exposure, what do you go for? Do you go for Spa? Do you go for ShopRite, which we spoke about yesterday, and you said you like ShopRite, and a few others, Woolworths, but pick and pay stores. Earnings update, it says here. Earnings update, August 2020. That's a new one. The PR company has come up with a new one. Earnings update, not trading update. What did you make of this one in your morning meeting?
Guys weren't very excited. I think this, the ShopRite numbers yesterday has really cast a sort of shadow over the whole local retail space, only because of their increase in sort of market share six, eight, 10 months or something the number was, I can't quite recall. Yeah. But they've literally been, if you pardon the pun, Lindsay, I mean, they've been eating everyone else's lunch. So at the moment, not overly excited with Pick and Pay, and I think there seems to be more of attention on the ShopRite numbers yesterday. So Pick and Pay was brushed aside this morning. Not much interest.
It says here, the Pick and Pay Group has made excellent progress in delivering the objectives set out in its long-term plan to build a more effective, agile and profitable business, closely attuned to the needs of its customers. Over the past 4 months, this has enabled us to play a vital role in one of South Africa's essential services, etc., etc. But anyway, it just goes on, and the market just says, no, thanks very much, we're down 2%.
But you know what? For me, it was more like a cut and paste, and there was nothing special in any of that sort of real announcement. And if you want to know exactly where Pick and Pay is, it's sitting right this minute. It's just trading on its 52-week low. So 42.56.
Okay, that tells you everything. Cashbuild came out with its fourth quarter operational update and trading statement for the full year 2020. Cashbuild, okay, it's a company that's been an extraordinary success story. A friend of ours that we speak to occasionally used to know. Was it Pat McGoldrick?
That's right, Paddy. He was an Irish guy.
Exactly, yeah. Very much so. Fantastic fellow. You should love interviewing him. I mean, he would talk about the company and the numbers and everything, but then drift off into anecdotal stories, which tells you so much about him and so much about the company. But anyway, Cashbuild has evolved since then. What has it done? Yeah. It's down today after that operational update. Is it one you look at?
It's not one I look at from a Sunland point of view, but it's one I look at other lot of clients that are interested. It's one of those shares I've actually yet to hear a bad word said about them.
Yeah.
It's got a huge fan base. Maybe it's to do with the founder who was so low liked locally in the industry. But other than that, I mean, very cash flow positive, doing very interesting things in the right place at the right time. I mean, the stock is down 29% year to date, but not far off the other places in its sector. But I mean, show me a share in South Africa of this sort of quality, I think, in the sort of medium cap space. I mean, because it's got a market cap of just over 4 billion, so maybe small to mid cap. But I mean, it's trading, Lindsay, on a P of 9. It pays a dividend yield, it's got very strong cash flow, plays a dividend yield of over 5.5%. It's one of those businesses that I think unfairly so with South Africa and the JSE, we always have so much little liquidity in some of our smaller shares that probably should be trading higher. Just a solid set of numbers, but it's got its fan base, so I'm sure it will.
Yes, and it's very attuned to the GDP numbers, and it's very attuned to the economy. So if people start getting some more money in their pockets, they go down there with their bucky, buy some bricks, buy some cement, and off they go and build something in their house. I don't know.
I mean, would you say, Lindsay? Yeah, it is fascinating, but you'd have to say, like, even, look, it's bounced back almost 50% from its lows in March, like a lot of other shares.
Yeah.
But in this, given South Africa's, I guess, the lackluster or no zero growth that we've got. I mean, this is literally on the coalface for SA. I mean, any sort of hint of South Africa bouncing back, I guess these guys would be on the forefront of that, I guess.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, there's so much competition, but on the other hand, they're still there and they're still doing well, and the share price has served you well over 10 years anyway. Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices. Dollar rand is 17.16, was 17.30 yesterday. British pound against the rand is 22.49. Euro rand is 20.25. The euro continues to strengthen, and that is borne out by the fact that the euro dollar is 1.18. In fact, 1.18.02, that euro just keeps ongoing.
What about big number on cable? Have you seen where that's trading this morning?
131.05 I've got there now. And do you know why cable is called cable?
Yep.
Tell us.
Because there used to be a telegraph cable between York and London. It went under the sea, and that's how I got the name cable.
Exactly. The dollar against the British pound, or the British pound against the dollar, was called cable. Yeah, and that's why there's a three-month contract on the London Metal Exchange, because it used to take 3 months for copper to go from Chile or from other places to London and get offloaded. That's why there was a three-month contract. The London Metal Exchange is still a mystery to me. The Dow Jones last night was up 0.9%. The S&P 500 was up 3/4. The Nasdaq up, and again, look at this thing, up 1.5% almost. This morning in the Far East, Tokyo up 1.7%. Shanghai, big move there. Shanghai up very slightly. Hang Seng, big move there as well, up 2.5%. And in Australia, the All Share Index in Sydney up nearly 2%, 1.86 to be precise. The gold price taking a bit of a pause. It's unchanged at 1977, we'll call it. What else? Platinum is up 8 to 9.29. Where's palladium, please, Nick?
That's up the same, up 0.6%, but it's actually back above the big number, so it's exactly 2,100. And I must point out, when I started doing my notes this morning a couple of hours ago, these precious metal prices fall down. So it's certainly bounced back, and I think that's to do with a little bit of dollar weakness all of a sudden coming back to the fore.
WTI crude is down very, very slightly, 7 cents a barrel to $40.94. Brent crude oil is $44.06 per barrel, which is also very slightly weaker, to the tune of 9 cents or 0.2%. Nothing in the diary today, Nick?
Nothing in the diary, but we keep forgetting to mention it. We must stick it back on our watch list when we chat. Iron ore again this morning.
Yes.
Once again, I mean, this is now, I believe after today's move in China, it is now the best performing commodity. It's overtaken gold. Everyone's talking about gold returning 22 or 23% this year. But in fact, iron ore is even better this morning. Currently iron ore is, this morning the commodity on the Chinese exchange, iron ore is up as much as 4%, $127 a ton. And if I tell you that most analysts have a long-term average price of about 65.
Exactly.
So just continuing to confound the experts. And a lot of it to do as well with, one of the biggest Brazilian miners, Vale, they're also even battling to keep up the increase to output this raw material. So keep an eye on that iron ore price, everyone. It's also quite, and that's good for SA. It's good for the likes of Kumba, et cetera. So keep an eye on that.
It's so good, because our iron ore is such good quality as well. On the upside today on the JSE, after around about 45 minutes of trading, but bear in mind my screen is slightly delayed, Bidvest is up just over 4%. Where did that come from? Bidvest. Absa Group up 3.6%. Nedcor up 3.4%. Investec Limited 3.4% better. Telkom up 3.4%. We were having a go at them yesterday for expanding into financial services. But interesting, Nick, that Absa, Nedcor and Investec Limited are three financial institutions doing well today. I suppose that's the slight strength in the rand.
Possibly, Lindsay. It's difficult to gauge. South Africa seems to be, I don't know if it's lost its little correlation to the rest of emerging markets. I don't know. I've just got this feeling the last few days that there's quite a bit of negativity coming through to SA, and I battle because I like to compare apples with apples all the time. So you want to buy the rand when the lira is going up and the Russian ruble is going up, the Mexican peso, etc. But the last 3 days, that correlation has actually broken down. So it's a little bit difficult to factor in. But the banks took a big knock yesterday, Lindsay. I mean, they really did. I mean, that banking index took an average 5-6% down. So maybe a little bit of a bounce back. But South Africa worries me a little bit. It seems to be sort of bobbing along in this investment ocean on its own at the moment.
Yes, and lots of criticism coming in for the president. But again, we'll talk about that later on with David Shapiro. Pick and Pay down 3.1%, Harmony down 1.2%, Equitas down 0.8%, BHP Group down 0.5%. Anything out of that after the first 49 minutes of trading?
No, we're just going to wait through for later. We've got Walt Disney results out of America. That'll be quite a good one to watch, because they're very, on one side, their theme parks have all been shut, but on the other side, that huge success in launching their streaming, that Disney Plus platform. So that's out a little later. So other than that, it's actually a bit of a quiet day today, a bit of a quiet Tuesday.
And on that quiet Tuesday, after 50 minutes of trading now, what are the indices showing us?
Well, it's actually a positive quiet Tuesday. We're up 0.5% currently with the all share. That's running on from yesterday's positive today. So 2 days up in a row, 56,141 the all share, up 311 points. JSE top 40, up 0.47, 51,811. Financial index, as you pointed out, Lindsay, these banks are bouncing back a little bit. 1.82% up on the financials. We have the small cap index up 0.4%. Consumer non-cyclicals up 1.86%. Healthcare also having a good day. I guess that's the likes of Aspen. I see that's up over 1%. Healthcare index up 1.6%. And I've only got one on the downside, and that's the technology index, which is currently a little bit of a lagger, down 0.22%. So far, it looks like a good start to the second day of the month.
Very good indeed. Nick Kunze, thank you so much for your time this morning. That was the opening with Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. And Nick will be back with myself and David Shapiro for the 5 o'clock shadow, just after five. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.